Isn't this a sports show?
How good is it for us that part of our, like, aesthetic of this show is just, like, bad? It's just doing things poorly.
Almost entirely.
This show doesn't really skew impotent, as far as I can figure.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Yeah, I'm a big, dumb sports idiot.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
This game is so violent that the congratulatory butt smacks are aggressive. Put me straight to the injured reserve with a bruised butt cheek.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
And as always, if you would like to tell me to stick my head in an oven, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe or comment on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I think the Chiefs won the Super Bowl yesterday. I think that's how the transitive property works of what we saw last night. I think the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions. We'll have a very bare bones parade down just around one of the fountains at the plaza at like 2 a.m. on Wednesday. That's the plan.
Are we going to steal light poles?
No, we'll probably just like...
light things on fire?
No, that's a little too heavy.
Kicking Macy's windows?
That's a little much. Eat horse poop? Just a Friday. No, it's a bit much for a transitive property Super Bowl parade. So I think we'll just like...
tip over a trash can.
Maybe mow some grass. Yeah. Like, put in a little bit of soap into some of the fountains. Something like that.
That's fine.
Something very reserved.
Some dye.
No, that's too much. Just a little soap. Or if there is any dye, it's just like one scientific dropper full.
But we're not like jumping off the Ritz-Carlton balcony or anything.
No.
No brass horns in the fifth
floor. We're not going to
the Chiefs fight song.
We're not going to knock over any statues.
No flipping cars.
No, we'll just like maybe we'll move a bicycle a little.
This is like the most boring Super Bowl party we're ever going to have.
Well, it's because it's a transitive property Super Bowl.
Might be the most boring transitive property Super Bowl in existence.
The Chiefs won the transitive property Super Bowl last night. So that's good news if you're a Chiefs fan or if you're in Kansas City and you own a business downtown. It's good news. It's just a transitive property Super Bowl. Also, again, for many reasons, by the way, I mean, Andy Reid had Doug Peterson as one of his... or I guess Doug Peterson had Andy Reid as kind of his mentor. Nick Foles was the Chiefs' backup quarterback last year. Doug Peterson was the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs 2 years ago. Both Andy Reid and Alex Smith were mentioned on the broadcast last night. So Clark Hunt has said that he considers this a successful Super Bowl. Just a little joke. We'll talk more about that later. Because I do want to talk about what Clark Hunt called a successful year for the Chiefs. Poor choice of words, and directly contradicts something he told me a few months ago. So stay tuned for that if you want to get angsty. But there are a bunch of other sure-to-be angsty questions based off of the Super Bowl first. And then we'll talk about all the fun stuff like the commercials and the halftime show and more commercials. And, oh, Tom Brady couldn't catch a pass, but Nick Foles could. We're going to do all that. But it only feels appropriate here on a station called ESPN Kansas City, to start with the saddest possible question. It's a mean, bad question at a bad time to a fragile fan base, but I'm a little bit kind of Chiefs masochistic. Who would you rather have be the head coach of your football team next year, Doug Peterson or Andy Reid? I'd like that to stop, please. It was a good move of their beards, but I'd like to never hear that sound again.
It was the sadness app.
Okay. It did sound very sad, but I never want to hear a baby crying on this show ever again. I hated that. But I put that poll out on Twitter last night, and 54% of people said Doug Peterson. And I think as long as it's close, the response is reasonable. And I'm just not sure where I stand. Because at this point, Andy Reid has the longer track record. But Doug Peterson does have the higher peaks that he's achieved. Doug Peterson has achieved more by way of a vertical angle than Andy Reid has. Andy Reid has the horizontal resume. He's been doing this for 1,000 years and doing it at a pretty high level for 1,000 years. Doug Peterson just won a Super Bowl, and Doug Peterson just won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback.
I think I've got NFL Network on here. I'm
sorry about that.
I know. I'm very sad about this. And they had a little stat at the bottom that was Peterson was the, I think, seventh head coach to win a Super Bowl in his first year, the first since Belichick.
This is the second year.
Making the playoffs.
That seems right.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe you.
Believe NFL Network, if anything.
Sure.
Don't trust me with football stats.
Well, I don't trust NFL Network with that either, so whatever. But yeah, it's a pretty quick rocket to the moon for Doug Peterson. And the Nick Foles thing is just sort of another like cherry on top, because Nick Foles had been contemplating retirement, but like Andy Reid brought him back, like rejuvenated his desire to play football, and then he was on the Chiefs roster backing up Alex Smith last year. Now he's a Super Bowl MVP, but I don't actually yearn for Nick Foles. I think a bunch of quarterbacks probably could have made this happen for the Eagles, and Foles just played insanely well through these playoffs. If I was a Vikings fan, I would not be terribly interested in signing Nick Foles to a long-term deal. But obviously, he played tremendously. But I don't really yearn for Nick Foles. I do wonder if the Chiefs have the best head coach who has gone through the building in the last few years. I also wonder what Matt Nagy's going to do in Chicago. The thing about Doug Peterson that makes me legitimately consider that maybe he's a better head coach right now than Andy Reid isn't just the achievement of winning a Super Bowl. Because I think that you get caught up in some... If you subscribe to that kind of logic, you get caught up into some conflicting beliefs. Oh, he won a Super Bowl, or he didn't win the Super Bowl, therefore, blank. And I think that's not a great way to live your life as a sports fan. But the thing that I really loved about what Doug Peterson did last night is that he constantly and consistently went for it. Fourth and short, let's go. Fourth and goal, let's throw it to our quarterback. Let's go for two. Let's forego the field goal. And that's the attitude you have to have if you're going to be the Patriots. Now, if Nick Foles would have dropped that pass in the red zone, then everyone would have gone, oh, Doug Peterson, how do you call a play to throw a pass to your quarterback, especially after the Patriots just showed you how this usually goes? How do you call that play there? If it works, he's a genius. If it fails, he's an idiot. Andy Reid's been dealing with that for years. But Doug Peterson, throughout the whole game, maintained a level of recklessness that I admire so much in a head coach. Now, the Chiefs had lots of execution problems against the Titans this year, but we've seen Andy Reid go into his shell. I don't know if that game sits solely on the shoulders of Andy Reid. I mean, it doesn't. It can go to Bob Sutton for not adjusting. It can partially go to Andy Reid, but there's also some real execution problems, especially through Alex Smith in the second half, especially as well. But we've seen it plenty of times where Andy Reid starts playing defensive offense. Doug Peterson knew exactly where he was last night. He knew exactly who he was playing, and he knew exactly how he had to play to actually contend with that team. And I admire Doug Peterson for doing that. I admire him in an enormous way. And a little bit of me is afraid that Andy Reid doesn't have that, or at least doesn't have that anymore. I'm concerned that this offense takes on a more aggressive gambler's mentality only whenever there is an outside force kind of nudging Andy Reid forward. Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy, is Eric Bieniemy going to be allowed to do that? Is he going to be trusted to do that? I don't know. And that worries me. Doug Peterson doesn't need to be nudged in that direction. He is the person that does the nudging in that direction. So I do have some concerns. Also, I can't remember who tweeted it, and I may be able to find it here quickly, but someone tweeted about the Eagles in a way that I hadn't even brought myself to the point of thinking about them. Chris Randall tweeted, he was tweeting this to Sam Mellinger, said, "I bet the Eagles wish they had kept Andy Reid and just assumed things would get better." And that one just kind of hurt. Like, oh. The Eagles went and they had a bad idea or a bad stretch with Chip Kelly, at least a bad execution. So I'm sure for those years they would have rather had Andy Reid, because they really bottomed out with Chip Kelly taking too much control. But then they went and made a move for a head coach that's going to be there for the next 10 years and who won a Super Bowl, which Andy Reid never did there. Eagles fans right now are definitely happy with, they gave Andy Reid the shot, moved on from Andy Reid, had a misstep, took the right step, have a Super Bowl. I don't think that the Chiefs should have gone in any non-Andy Reid direction, and they won't for the next couple of years. I want to see Andy Reid with Pat Mahomes for the next couple of years. I've been consistent on that for a while. But it does kind of make you cringe, right? The Eagles moved on from the guy who's now in Kansas City, and now a lot of us in Kansas City are making that argument of, listen, you got to be patient with Andy Reid. You got to let him have this quarterback that he wanted, and you got to see how this works out. Don't make a move. Stick with what you got. The Eagles are certainly glad they made a move. Again, I don't think that's prescriptive. I'm not saying that's what the Chiefs should do now. But it does, you know, kind of turn your stomach a little bit. Also, this does an interesting thing, I think, to the quarterback discussions that we have all the time. I actually don't think it does as much as some people, but at least brought it back up. And Seth and I have disagreed on this to some extent. I don't know if we've ever fully gotten the full picture of each other's perspectives on it, but we've disagreed in some places. He tweeted after the game, it'll be interesting if you see the dynamic of the, quote, you need an elite quarterback, unquote, argument shifts, or if people start saying that Foles is an elite quarterback. I'm guessing the latter. That's only a problem in the argument if your argument is not the accurate one. There are several places here where this has to be expanded upon. First of all, saying have to means to have your best chance. By have to, I am saying good luck finding another way to do this. So take that for what you will. It's possible, perhaps, to go in a way other than what I'm going to describe. But if it is possible, it's barely possible and it's very difficult. But you have to either have an elite quarterback or a valuable enough quarterback to build the best roster in football around you. Foles plus Carson Wentz would have been the 23rd highest paid quarterback in football this year. And the Eagles as a team were 25th out of 32 teams in 2017 quarterback spending. That's about 4.5% of their salary cap. If you're going to try to win, you want to win a Super Bowl with a non-elite quarterback, that's how you have to do it. Or at least that's certainly your best chance to do it. Good luck winning the Super Bowl next year, Jacksonville, with a $19 million Blake Bortles. It will not happen. Also, for comparison's sake, again, about 4.5% for the Eagles at 25th out of 32 teams. The Dolphins were number one in the NFL in quarterback spending this year with almost $33 million devoted to that position between Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, and Matt Moore, I believe. And the average was the Lions at $17 million. The average is 11%. The Dolphins were putting 19% of their salary cap into the quarterback position. You can afford to do that, perhaps, if you have elite quarterback play. If you're putting 15% of your salary cap into Aaron Rodgers, that's fine by me. But you can't put it into Alex Smith or Blake Bortles, certainly, or I wouldn't put it into Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr or Nick Foles. So I think that's an important distinction to make. Also, everything I'm saying about quarterbacks, it is a theory. If you want to be scientific about it, I think there's evidence to support my theory, but it isn't a scientific law. And there can be anomalies and exceptions. It doesn't make it anything other than still the best way to do it. If you would have played this season 100 times, eventually an overpaid mediocre quarterback would have won a Super Bowl. It's not a scientific law, but if I was a general manager, I would avoid that at all costs, that strategy at all costs, which is why drafting quarterbacks is it's so important. Pat Mahomes can be an average quarterback this year and still be an upgrade. If Pat Mahomes gives you as much as Alex Smith gave you, or even a little less, it's an upgrade just for this year, not even considering that obviously going forward you expect Mahomes to keep growing. Another reason that I think it was completely, completely insane to argue the Chiefs should have gone back to Alex for another year, I digress. So that's what I got from last night on the field. It was an amazingly fun game. I can't believe the Patriots lost in a game where they didn't punt. Also, the Eagles didn't get pressure on Tom Brady until the very end. One time. They got to Tom Brady one time. And it stuns me that they won a game doing that. Again, Nick Foles was amazing. That offense was absolutely chugging along. I don't think that makes Nick Foles a top-caliber quarterback. Also, it makes me a little bit curious about how good Carson Wentz is. I'm just saying. The Eagles have the surrounding pieces to make a lot of quarterbacks look very good, I would assume. But Foles struggled early on in his relief of Carson Wentz and then has been on fire, was on fire through the playoffs, so. Credit where it's due. Another thing from the broadcast last night that I thought was startlingly noticeable: Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels were bad. They were not good last night, and I usually like them. I like Chris Collinsworth as a color commentator. Al Michaels is good. Last night was a disaster. They kept talking about RPOs, and if you listen to this show a lot through this season, we've talked about them here a bunch. Run-pass options, whenever the quarterback has the option to stick it in the running back's gut or pull it out at the last second and then make a run play out of it, or make a pass play out of it, and the receivers are running routes and everything. Apparently that had been written into Chris Collinsworth's contract that he got a bonus every time he said RPO last night, because he was saying it in places where they weren't options. They were just play action passes. If you make a movement towards your running back, try to get the defense to bite, it's just a play action pass. There is no, like, if you actually handed it off to your running back, he would get crushed because the offensive line is exclusively pass blocking, and your running back is not expecting the football. an RPO could actually go either direction. They kept botching that. But also, they didn't know what a catch was. Now, I understand that no one really knows what a catch is. I know that nobody in the NFL currently knows what a catch is. But the calls that were made last night were the correct calls. The touchdown in the back of the end zone was more questionable out of the two that we'll talk about. But it wasn't bobbled. The receiver caught it and pinned it against himself and then like extra secured it. And he had 2 feet in. Now, if you wouldn't have called it a catch until it had been doubly secured, then the second foot would have been out of bounds. That's not how it went, though. It's just a catch. And the Ertz one was even easier. The Ertz touchdown was a breeze. He caught the pass and then became a runner and then broke the plane and then lost control of the ball when it hit the ground and then grabbed it himself again. If that had happened outside of the plane, it would have been a fumble that he recovered. But there was no universe in which that was ever an incomplete pass. Collinsworth and Al Michaels are both vehement about both of those not being catches. It was very odd. It was a very odd experience. Also, someone needs to tell Al Michaels that the Los Angeles Angels haven't been the California Angels for the last 20 years. They kept showing Mike Trout, and he showed Mike Trout twice. And called them the California Angels. But obviously, none of the things we talked about in the first 20 minutes were the most important things from last night. The most important things from last night were the commercials and the halftime show. Obviously. Which also feels like this is the next segment will probably be the truest segment we do in the history of this show for the name of the show. Where this, it's around sports, but it's not about the sports game.
Or like the quarterback handsomeness poll.
Yeah, that's up there also. Yeah.
Or the XXXXXXXXXFL.
I wasn't counting, but I felt like that wasn't quite a 10.
X. I'm not doing it again.
Also, you probably could have just called it the XFLX. Like, you know how, people used to have usernames that would be like lowercase x, uppercase x, lowercase
that's
x,
what we
uppercase
should do.
X.
Lowercase, lowercase, football. Uppercase, FL, uppercase, lowercase, lowercase. That's harder to name, though.
No, you're right. It is still hard to say that. What if we just called it football, but instead of the O's, they were X's? Also for the A, you for all of the vowels.
That's really hard to pronounce.
Network. We have to have our own network for it. So we get just like tatted up Rich Eisen to do the pregame shows. Welcome back to the network.
Sounds like you're having a seizure.
I'm Rich.
We're replacing every vowel with an X?
Yeah, in the whole league.
Oh, gosh.
In the whole league. X. No, we'll have to work on that. Oh, why don't we just call it the FXL? The Football Extreme League. Boom.
Sure.
That solves everything.
Okay.
Yeah, we should have called this the FXL the whole time. I sure feel silly. All right, sorry for the detour away from the very serious sports talk we were previously doing. We'll change that whenever we come back and talk about commercials.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Really quick backstory for why he's named Dick Justice. Beards, do you mind?
There was a Sports Saturday show that we did several months ago that involved just us looking up a bunch of funny sports names.
Yeah.
And Dick Justice was one of those.
It's a great name.
And it was probably one of my favorite ones.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Good, clean fun.
With Joshua Briscoe.
And also...
Squeaky.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to this very sportsy Super Bowl breakdown segment. This would have been better if you would have had Justin Timberlake music ready to go that we could have faded into. I mean, there's no way you're going to be able to... I said that, and then Beard started just flailing around the studio, and now I have to stall until he gets it. And if we don't do what I just suggested, then he's going to be in a funk for the rest of the day. So he's now just scrambling.
It's very sporty sports segment.
Flawless. The actual thing's worth talking about now. Not that silly sports game. But the commercials and halftime music! Are we going to leave this loop the whole time? Because I feel like eventually my head will explode off my shoulders.
We can do that.
I don't think I want to do that. All right, I have a few notes here on the commercials.
Okay.
Beards, chime in when you feel necessary.
Can do.
You've got something to add. Also, if I miss anything that you end up having, we'll go back to that as well.
Okay. Well, here. Do we want to start off real quick with some of the trailers that were from last night?
No.
Okay.
I have chronological order.
Okay. Go for it.
First thing I wrote down. Dr. Oz was in a commercial. Are we not done with Dr. Oz? Is Dr. Oz not over? Wasn't he like selling some like, this will make your fat go away, and also cure cancer kind of pills? Wasn't it? Didn't that happen? Isn't that a thing that happened at one point? I think we should be over Dr. Oz.
I just realized that he's Turkish. Part Turkish.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah, if you search...
There's a controversy section on his Wikipedia page, by the way.
Yeah.
Arsenic and apple juice. Real AIDS drug marketing. Reparative therapy of homosexuals.
Oh my goodness.
June 24th Senate hearing.
Yeah, he had a Senate hearing. Yes, that was
lack
it.
Lack of scientific validity.
Yes, that's what I was thinking about.
Okay.
There's a 2014 Washington Post story that says half of Dr. Oz's medical advice is baseless or wrong, study says. 5 bogus health claims Dr. Oz has made. Get Dr. Oz out of here and away from my Super Bowl.
I did not know his first name was Mehmet.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah. No wonder he just goes by Dr. Oz.
Next thing. The solo trailer. I actually think I just wish this was a Lando movie now. I'm very excited for Donald Glover. I don't know if I really need Han Solo backstory.
No.
I feel like this is actually going to be... The movie could be fine.
Sure.
But as a concept, feels like a bit of a misfire. We've had lots of Han Solo. The places where I could deal with a Star Wars story would be like learning about Lando and then letting Donald Glover have his own damn Star Wars movie. Your thoughts?
I saw the actual full trailer today.
I haven't seen it yet.
It feels very much like one of my complaints about Last Jedi, which is the Marvelification.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll see. It looks at least okay.
I think it'll be okay.
Sure.
My family basically had a rap battle reaction to the Wendy's Frozen Arches commercial. It was weird. There's a commercial where Wendy's was just like, McDonald's freezes their beef and we don't. So come to us, not the Frozen Arches.
One.
It was pretty early on.
Okay.
My whole house was like, oh, snap. It was kind of odd. I would watch anything with Peter Dinklage and Morgan Freeman in it.
That was good.
Anything. Full-length movie. And 2 hours.
Except Game of Thrones.
Morgan Freeman in that?
No.
Didn't think so. Get out of here. Morgan Freeman plus Peter Dinklage.
Oh, you need both. Okay.
I will watch anything with both of them in it together. So that commercial was good. Did you see the trailer for Skyscraper with Dwayne Johnson?
I did.
I've got to give the original inspiration of this to Renee. Renee made a very good point about this. I have extrapolated it. But Skyscraper with Dwayne Johnson is just an improv scene. You go, okay, we need a person. We need a person. What's that? President? No. Jennifer Aniston? No. Dwayne Johnson. Perfect. Okay. Now we need...
Oh,
we,
I can totally see this as an IDA.
We need a place now. We need a place. Let's go White House. No. Playground. No.
Plane.
No. Skyscraper. Oh, skyscraper. Okay. Let's go skyscraper. All right, we got Dwayne Johnson on a skyscraper. Now we need a physical malady. What do we have? We have cancer. No. Missing a hand. I don't think Dwayne Johnson can do that. Missing a leg. We can work with missing a leg, right, guys? Missing a leg. We're good with that. All right, cool. All right, so here we go. This is a scene where Dwayne Johnson is in a skyscraper with a missing leg. All right, here we go.
That's totally an IDA.
You're just doing an improv scene, and now that's a movie.
Yep. Also, it's like Die Hard, but not.
I haven't seen Die Hard still since we talked about this like 2 days ago.
I know.
Also, don't really care. This has to be terrible.
Oh, completely.
If skyscraper 100%.
Has 30%
above.
No, 40.
Because what I was going to say was going to be very harmful to myself. I was going to say that if Skyscraper has above a 75 on Rotten Tomatoes, that I would actually go see it.
Oh, jeez.
But I don't want to see it at all. Like, I would be absolutely stunned.
I'm expecting
stunned.
The 30s.
Yeah, that feels about right.
That's why I bumped it up to 40 for a good over-under.
That feels about right. The David Harbour / Jim Hopper from Stranger Things Tide commercials were fantastic.
Probably the best. Also, it was a good running gag throughout it.
And Ty did a really good job from a spending, like a budget standpoint, because they spent, you know, a full commercial at the beginning going, aha, everything's a Tide ad, blah, 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 blah. And then later it was like 10-second Tide commercial. Ooh, it's a Tide commercial. That's funny. And then they did like three
more
times.
There was like
times.
The Budweiser, you thought it was going to be the Budweiser Clydesdales, and then it was like, oh, nope.
Mm-hmm.
Tide
commercial. Old Spice one, Tide commercial.
Yep.
Very good.
Also, to reference something that we'll probably talk about later, the black screen of just whatever.
You're waiting for that to be a Tide commercial.
Well, Tide tweeted, actually. Let me see if I can find that very quickly.
We'll talk about the black screen in a second. You search for it in silence.
Okay, well, I've got it.
Okay.
Clean clothes are still clean in the dark. If it's clean, it's a Tide ad.
That's awesome. Really good work by the marketing people from Tide.
Yeah.
New Cloverfield trailer. I had heard rumors about a third Cloverfield movie. We might have even talked about this, Beards. I'd also heard rumors of it maybe going to Netflix. It's on Netflix now!
Yeah.
The Cloverfield Paradox...
I heard it was just okay.
...was put on... I don't want to know anything about it. I don't care what anybody says. It was great.
I still
the trailer
seen the
was great. The idea of dropping it right as the Super Bowl ended was amazing. If I would have been watching Super Bowl at my own house, not my parents' house, I would have just watched it right after the game.
Whatever TV show they kept teasing for after the game that was supposed to be like, quote,
this is us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They probably felt really bad because it was like, oh no, now we got this to compete with.
No.
Now it won't
this
be
is
so
us
historic.
This is us was the highest, most watched post Super Bowl thing in like 6 years or something.
Oh,
so it worked out.
Whatever.
Back in your hole.
Okay.
Then the black screen was the last thing I have written down before halftime.
It was strange.
I, at first, saw like 3 seconds of black screen and went, some board op is getting super fired right now. But then once it was a black screen for like 10 seconds, I was like, wait a second.
This is
going to be an ad,
yeah.
Right? So it's like this peace and quiet brought to you by Tide. That was what I expected then.
I thought it was going to be like some kind of social something or other ad.
Right, whatever. I had no idea. And I just figured something would pop up and be like, this brought to you by.
Blah. Yeah.
This break from advertisement brought to you by someone else advertising something.
We were at my aunt's house watching, and there was a TV upstairs and a TV downstairs, and we were downstairs, and we were watching it. And then my sister comes running downstairs to look at the TV, like, you've got this too, okay. And then just ran back upstairs.
And apparently it ended up just being an NBC issue.
Which is disappointing.
It was nothing, and I wish it was a thing. Then it was halftime, and Justin Timberlake came out. He started with a song from his new album that I haven't listened to yet. I think it came out today, didn't it?
I don't know.
Maybe it comes out tomorrow. First song, not great. Weird that he's like under the stadium and then like came out up the stairs or whatever under the actual field.
And
it was fine. The whole thing was fine and kind of dull. And then the Big Prince like projection, not a hologram but a projection, also still just
that
sort
was
of
okay.
It was just sort
cool.
of very weird though. And also, there were no living guests. I've decided what I want here. He was fine. I would rather have the all-star mashup halftime show.
I was expecting Janet Jackson to pop out at some point. I was hoping he had her in that piano.
You were expecting Janet Jackson.
I was expecting Janet Jackson.
You were expecting Janet Jackson to pop out, you said?
Yep.
Again?
Yep. Not what I intended, but we'll go with it.
Sure.
Works better that way.
Sure does. But yeah, she could have popped out. There could have been NSYNC could have popped out. Ooh. There were plenty of ways they could have. That's what I want from Super Bowl halftime shows going forward. There have been so many good like mashups with a bunch of different artists. You have five artists and they all do, you know, a minute and a half of one of their songs and it bleeds into someone else's and the features and everything cross over. That sounds like fun. I would prefer that. I didn't really need 15 minutes of just Justin Timberlake. It was kind of boring.
I was
kind of bored by it.
I don't know if it was like where I was or if just we didn't have the TV on that loud, but I couldn't really understand anything he was singing for the most part.
We ended up the whole way. I recognized the song from Trolls.
I recognized like two songs.
I recognized Mirror and Sexy Back.
Yeah.
And then I knew the first song was a new one. Don't remember what else happened. It wasn't great. It was just very average. I don't know. It seems like there's been a lot of polarizing responses to that. I don't think that's justified. Average.
I've seen good, and I've seen bad. It was neither.
What was bad? What was a bad halftime performance?
Black Eyed Peas.
Tom Petty also was. You probably love Tom Petty.
No.
Okay.
I don't like Tom Petty.
Okay. That's good. I just thought, Tom Petty doing a halftime show. It seems so silly now. Also, he's dead now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that would. Well, no, it didn't stop Prince.
That's true.
Never mind. Tom Petty, next year. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Then there was the awkward kid.
Oh yeah, awkward selfie kid was kind of fun. Apparently, like 13, got himself a selfie. Will be very popular at school today.
Was very mortified about being on TV. Didn't know what to do.
Just kind of froze.
Oh yeah. I understand. I totally understand.
I was gonna say, I feel like that kid is just you in the past. Maybe you now. What would you do if Justin Timberlake started singing into your ear at the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
I think I would do that. I wouldn't do that. I think most people would do that.
Most people would probably do that.
I would start stripping. I would pop out.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Like Jam Jackson. With more chest hair. A lot more. But the halftime show in general just okay.
Sure.
It was fine. More commercials. I'm pro equality, but I'm anti baby, so I didn't know what to do with that weird T-Mobile commercial.
There were a lot of those where it was like phone companies or whoever that was just kind of like, "Hey, social statement. By the way, brought to you by Stella Artois."
We have right. Also, I think I might have skipped over this. And I don't have it written down anywhere, but we have to talk about Dodge using Martin Luther King Jr. to sell trucks.
No, there's always one of those every
always,
year.
Always, but this is especially bad.
That's especially bad because Dodge had two commercials. Or no, was that Dodge or Ram?
Aren't those the same?
Oh, yeah, I'm dumb.
Okay, great.
Yeah, they had two commercials. The Vikings one, which I thought was good.
Oh, yeah, I didn't register.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was funny. Whatever. And then they had that one. So it's like, you're kind of playing both sides there. And only one of those worked.
But somebody on Twitter overlaid the commercial with Martin Luther King Jr. talking about, like, capitalism, basically. And, like, it was such a crazy appropriation to go, it feels like a social statement. Like, oh, we're here for equality or whatever. But Martin Luther King Jr., like, almost always gets, like, toned down. And using him to sell a truck...
Yeah.
Is pretty much prime 2018 America.
There's always one of those every year, though, that tries to use the super social, the super inspirational stuff, and then it's like, buy a Kia.
Right, no, for sure. But like the T-Mobile one...
Our phones aren't as expensive as theirs.
No, the T-Mobile one did it in a way where it was like, okay, this is sort of odd, but like I get what they're doing, and they're like, oh, everybody should be equal and
It's a social statement brought to you by T-Mobile.
Right.
This
but
was,
that is a completely different thing, though, than
that,
what
that
Dodge
Martin Luther
did.
King says, buy a Dodge.
Yes. That's super different.
This getting killed, by the way.
Excuse me?
That commercial. Okay. That commercial is getting killed.
That's what I thought you meant,
yes.
But honestly, I wasn't sure
yeah,
if you
no, that's what
taking,
it, that's
driving
what
us somewhere else in your Dodge there. Yeah. It was very odd. There were a couple like that. Most of them were just fine. The Martin Luther King one was the worst. Eli Manning... working on halftime or working on touchdown dances throughout the commercials were all very interesting.
They have to do that next year.
100%. Well, but yeah. No, I'm just saying, but like the working up to it and then the payoff of Eli Manning and Odell Beckham Jr. slow-mo dancing together, doing the dirty dancing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The dirty dancing routine. It warmed my heart beyond explanation. It was just tremendous.
The lead up to it, I wasn't as big a fan of because I didn't really understand what was going on and they were kind of cutting those short, it felt like. But then the actual one at the end was good.
I enjoyed it because after the second one, you're like, oh, they're doing something. They're leading somewhere.
Oh, I knew they were. I just couldn't tell what it was.
Right. I know. It's the payoff. I don't mind a little patience in my commercial watching. Also, the Amazon commercial with Gordon Ramsay and Cardi B and Anthony Hopkins is very good.
Yes.
I would probably go ahead and buy an Echo if it was voiced by Gordon Ramsay.
That'd be fun.
I think I would do that.
I'd take an Anthony Hopkins one.
Anthony Hopkins would also be pretty good.
I remember years ago there was a company that did...
I think Waze did it with some voices.
GPS?
Yeah, Waze is a GPS.
I can't remember. It was like... it was a T something or other, but they had like Mr. T doing it and Snoop Dogg.
I'm just Googling it right now because I'm pretty sure that it was Waze. Yeah, it was Waze.
Okay.
So go ahead and step off.
Okay. Also, I liked the fake Crocodile Dundee movie that turned out to just be an Australia commercial.
That was also pretty good.
It was pretty good.
You're right. I thought I had heard that they were actually making that movie, and so whenever the commercial came through, I was surprised. And also glad they weren't making that actual movie.
The E-Trade commercial with DJ Nana and all the other old people.
Also
pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
E-Trade always seems to do good funny commercials. They had the baby for years.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The E-Trade baby. That was always good.
They really are just sort of swinging that pendulum. Babies or
old people
who can't retire. Did I miss anything else? Those are the ones that I wrote down.
Those were good.
Also, there are other bad ones you need to roast. I just didn't write down.
I had a few that I kind of put in the meh column.
Sure, that's the most fun to talk about for sure.
Bleep Don't Stink was very meh to me.
It was funny as it was happening because it was kind of
funny.
I know what you're doing, and you're essentially cursing on television because you're planning it in everybody's mind.
Yeah, but then it was also kind of trying too hard, I thought.
It went on for a long time.
Yeah. Also. Let's see. Bud Knight.
Oh, no.
Whatever.
No, Bud Knight was not meh. Bud Knight was atrocious. The Dilly Dilly thing wore out its welcome officially last night.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing in the Bud Knight was a painful experience.
The Pringle stacking.
It was kind of funny.
It was kind of funny, but it was still eh. Was
I would give that a eh.
Sure, yeah. That's what this column's
kind
for.
Kind of a pot, no, but no. No. What was the one that you said before the Bud Knight?
Bleep Don't Stink.
Bleep Don't Stink was a eh. Bud Knight was a, eh.
Pringles.
The Pringles one was a, eh. Very different. Next.
Let's see here. The Lexus Black Panther was kind of whatever. I'd seen variations of that already.
Yeah, no, I would have a bunch of times. Much preferred just a boring car commercial that could have gone to the bathroom during, or a Black Panther trailer.
Sure. Let's see. What else is there? Bleacher Report and SB Nation had a bunch of gradings on their websites.
I don't need them. I got my own grades. I got my own report card. I got a whole book right now. I got a whole grade sheet right now.
I think those are pretty much all of the
great. We did it.
Notable ones.
Good
that
job,
I
us.
Westworld trailer. Awesome. I'm excited.
I saw that and I figured that I would be moments away from seeing you tweet about it.
April.
Was that known?
No.
Okay.
No. We knew it was 2018, but we didn't know when.
April's pretty good.
April's good. April's good. I can live with April. Not like April of next year for Game of Thrones.
That's how to get you through, right?
That's a long time away.
You can get to, you're wearing a Game of Thrones hoodie there now.
I am.
You? It's fine.
I still haven't seen the first Jurassic World.
Oh yeah, that was actually interesting. I'm excited for that. I'll watch any Jurassic Park World movie. You haven't, so you can't say sure. You can't because you didn't.
I've seen the Jurassic Park movies. I just haven't seen the new one.
All right, I think we're good.
Okay.
Maybe we come back, we'll have a very short segment where we talk about maybe Rob Gronkowski or something. I don't know. And then eventually I want to talk about Clark Hunt calling this a successful Chiefs season. I have I have some alternate perspectives on that. I'll talk about that in a little bit.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I have an anchor tattoo on my nose because I refuse to sink.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back. Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. Thomas has asked on the Facebook page. Well, I was going to tell you what he said, and then the comments disappeared. It was about Doug Peterson versus Andy Reid and how we would be talking about this. If the result would have been different, he said, would we be asking who is the better coach if the Patriots would have won? That game was close online. Eagles defense didn't stop them until the last minutes with a strip sack. But when we have Kelsey throw the deep ball, we pull our hair out and say Reid's getting too cute. I mentioned that early on. I don't know if I said that after... If Thomas missed when I was talking about that at the front end, or if he, if he joined in late or whatever. But I think that is a good, smart follow-up, because whenever stuff like that doesn't work, you usually start roasting the head coach for getting too cute. And I think we wouldn't be saying the same thing if the Eagles had lost that game, but I think we should be having the same conversation either way, which is something I mentioned earlier. If you're going to have that conversation today, you should be having it not because the Eagles won, but because you saw Doug Peterson playing the kind of unafraid football, coaching the kind of unafraid football that you simply have to have if you're going to be the head coach of a team that beats the Patriots. If you're going to continue to make a run through the playoffs with a backup quarterback, with a team that is dealing with injuries and all sorts of changes throughout the season, if you're going to make those moves all the way through the playoffs and then ultimately to prevail over the Patriots, you're going to do it because, in part, you play that style of aggressive football. Andy Reid draws up some good trick plays, but I wouldn't call his style of game management aggressive. That's the quality that Doug Peterson has that really makes him an enticing coach to me, and why I think he's in that conversation. For is he better off than Andy Reid, or would a team be better off in Doug Peterson's hands rather than in Andy Reid's? Also, my mom said that the halftime show was disappointing, and he should have just taken Super Bowl selfies the whole halftime show. Also, my mom mentioned during the game that Nick Foles has nice teeth. Also, not at the beginning of the game, not at the end of the game, towards the beginning of the game. Like, very early on. I mean, she might be right. It's just not anything that I had considered until she mentioned it. So, apparently Nick Foles has nice teeth. And also a Super Bowl MVP trophy. Frankly, either of those feel like a pretty good way to go through life. But until we come back, we'll talk about Clark Hunt calling the Chiefs season successful. I can't see any problem with that.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.